Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to worship here at Romeo United Methodist Church. My name is Pastor Devin, and I'm so glad you're here with us. Glad that we can gather, that we have this place to be together and celebrate this day. I have a few announcements to share, so let me share these and get through them here real quick. The first, Earlene messaged me and asked that I share with the Wednesday afternoon Bible study group that she's going to delay starting one more week. She's still recovering from her illness that she went through and just not quite feeling up to it quite yet, she said. So she's looking to start on the 18th instead of this coming Wednesday. So look forward to that on Wednesday the 18th. Also coming up, we have a couple of activities planned. This coming Saturday, January 14th, from 6:30 to 8:30, there will be square dancing happening downstairs in our fellowship hall. If you enjoy that sort of thing, please come join us. If you've never done that sort of thing, come join me and we can look silly together doing it. But we're looking forward to it. It'll be a fun evening. It'll be at 6:30 starting. There is a sign up down there just so we have an idea of how many are coming. And if plans change and you can make it, please come, even if you're not on that sign up sheet. We'd love to have you join us. That's the January 14th. And then just to get it on your calendars, for February 11th, we're going to have our annual chili cook-off and talent show. That will be February 11th from 5 to 7. There's a sign up downstairs for that as well. If your talent is making chili, please let us know. Sign up so we know how much food we have. And if you have a talent to share with us, we'd love to see, hear, whatever that talent might be. You can sing, dance. We've had magic. We've had math problems. Andrew, oh, I don't see Andrew. Andrew did math for us last year and confused all of us with what he did, but he solved the problem. We have all kinds of talents in this church. We'd love to see those shared. So please sign up if you'd like to share with us at the talent show on February 11th. And then Ken caught me on the way in this morning, and he wanted to share with everyone that we had our Society of St. Andrew, the devotion books that the men's group provides for us each year and hands out and leads that ministry. And through all of your generous contributions, we were able to donate $1,285 to the Society of St. Andrew this year. Thank you. So thank you to everyone who participated and contributed in that. Ken wanted me to say a special word of thanks to Dave and Ed. They kept track of all the money that was donated in and then the matching funds from the men's group. So we thank everyone for their participation in that. And then I have one final announcement I was asked to make. Becky asked me to highlight this. Last week I shared we had a whole lot of meals served in this church right around the Christmas holiday, which is an awesome thing. But one side effect of that we found is we have a lot of dishes that have been left behind in our church kitchen. And the ladies have been down there cleaning up, getting things cleaned up, and we appreciate it. But they have a cart full of dishes down there in the fellowship hall. So if you've brought a dessert or a dish for one of those meals here recently or any time in the past few months, if you want to check that cart out after service, they'd appreciate it. They're going to take some of that stuff over to donate here if we don't get it taken care of. So those are downstairs in the fellowship hall. You can get those after worship. Those are the announcements that I had. Now I get to make my favorite announcement. Let us do what we're here to do. It is time for us to worship. I'm so glad you're here, and I'm going to invite you to start this time of worship with me by singing our opening hymn. We're going to be singing number 156, I Love to Tell the Story. Will you stand with me as you're able to sing hymn number 156?
Oh,
Will you join me in a word of prayer? Lord, as we come for this time of worship, let us listen for your voice, O God. For we know you have given us work to do. You have called each of us before we were even born. It is you who has claimed us and named us. It is the light of your love that shines in us. So help us to shine that love out into all the world. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. You may please be seated. And as you are, our first scripture reading for today is coming to us from Isaiah. We're going to read chapter 49, verses 1 through 7. If you wish to follow along, it's on page 644 in the Old Testament of our pew Bibles. The Servant's Mission. Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing in vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with my God." And now the Lord says, "Who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him? For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength." He says, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers. Kings shall stand up and shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." This ends our first reading for today. And this morning, I'm glad to welcome back our choir who will be singing for us. This is going to be All That Lasts. Like the sound of children's laughter. Thank you, choir. At this time, I'd like to welcome any of the children or youth students that want to join me to join me up on the steps for our time with children. Good morning, boys and girls. How are you doing today? Good. I didn't even hear from all of you. How are you doing today?
Good.
There we go. All right. You're all awake. I'm here with you. Good. Well, I'm glad you guys are here. I'm glad you're doing good. I'm glad that we get to talk for a few minutes today. Oh, we got one more joining us. Coming up. All right. There you go. Well, I was wondering this morning, do any of you guys have any favorite hobbies or things that you like to do? Do you have some favorite things you like to do? Are you waving one of your favorite things to do? Yeah. You like your fingerboards? All right. What's one of your favorite things to do? You like playing soccer? Awesome. Oh, is that another soccer? Are you agreeing with a soccer? All right. We got another soccer player. Another soccer player. We got some soccer players. All right. Well, how about you, Ava? Basketball. All right. I know some other basketball players that just started. Yeah. Basketball. How about you, Spencer? Basketball and football. All right. We got lots of people who like playing those sports and running around. Anyone else have favorite activities or things you like to do? You like to make things? Yeah, that's fun. You like dancing? Hey, that's a great thing. You don't want to see me dancing, but it's a great thing. So, any other activities? All right. Well, sounds like you guys have a wide array of things you like doing. And I was curious, do you know why you like doing those things? Like, was there something that started you liking those things? Was it because of a friend or a sibling or maybe one of your parents were interested in that thing? What made you start liking those things? Can you remember what it was? What was it for you? Oh, it was a soccer player that you liked and you watched him and gave you an interest. All right, that's a good reason. A ball? Yeah, a soccer ball. You got it. Any other, can you think of why you started liking those things? No? Okay. Saw a friend doing it? Yeah. Well, I think that's common. That's often how we get interested in something. It might be because we... Yeah. You like to run, so soccer was a natural thing. You get to run a lot with soccer, don't you? Back and forth? Yeah. You like to run too? Yeah. And I think that's a common thing, though. We see someone else doing it. We see a professional athlete, maybe, or a friend, or we see people doing an activity, running around that we like to do. We see people creating things we like or see other people dancing and something that's interesting. We see someone else doing it. And maybe it's a friend, a professional, our parents, a teacher at school. We don't know who that person might be, but we see someone else doing it. And I was kind of thinking about that this week, and I'm going to talk with the adults here in a little bit about it because that's kind of similar to how those first disciples started following Jesus in a lot of cases. That a lot of them, they weren't quite sure. Jesus didn't have a huge following to start. He didn't have anyone following him to start. But then one day he was walking through town, and it was actually his cousin, John the Baptist. And he said to some people that he was with, he says, "That's the one. That is the guy you want to follow. Go follow him." And you know what those couple of people did? They went. They went and followed Jesus. And they started learning from him. And it changed their lives. And it became something that was an important part of their lives for the rest of their lives. And I think that's an important lesson for us, that just like those fun activities we like to do, soccer, dance, basketball, football, creating things, whatever it might be, we got interested in those. And I'll be honest with you, other people might become interested in them because of you, because of your fingerboard, because of you playing soccer. Maybe one day we'll see you on the TV playing soccer. Maybe? All right. Yeah, exactly. But you might inspire someone else to do that. But well, we can do it with all those fun things that we were talking about. We can also do it with our following in Jesus and our loving Jesus. We can show people what Jesus means to us and how we act and how we behave because of Jesus. And it can make other people interested and want to come to church, to come to Sunday school or to Sunday lessons in Odyssey or VBS or some of those fun activities we do. It can give other people an interest too. So I just want to encourage you guys that. Know that you're an example. You're showing other people what it means to be a follower of Christ. We all are. And that's an awesome privilege we get to have. So I just wanted to encourage you guys for that this week, all right? Yes? Yes, you're setting an example every time you go on the court to play, for sure. Well, I'm glad you guys are here. I'm glad you got to come up with me. And I know Mrs. Hostler, she's sitting here ready to go with you guys. So I'm going to say a prayer so you can head back to class with her, all right? So let's say a prayer before you wander away to the piano and start banging. Let's say a prayer. Dear Lord, I give you thanks for each of these students. I give you thanks that they're a part of our church, that they are a part of our worship time, that they can be here to learn more about you, Lord, that we can learn how much you love us and how you want us to follow you, how we can behave and learn to be like you, Jesus. And I give you thanks for all the examples they've had of teachers and parents and grandparents and just all the members of this church, everyone that loves these children, Lord. And I pray that we can all continue to be a good example, that we can show others the way that you showed us, that we can love them and spread that love all around this world. Jesus, we do love you. We pray as always in your holy name. Amen. Well, guys, thanks for coming up. You're welcome to head back with Mrs. Hosler or head back to your seats. There you go, sweetie. Go ahead. Well, as we let those students make their way back, I remind us that this is our time for joys and concerns. We take this time each week and share those things with our church friends, but also, most importantly, we share them with God, those needs we have addressed in our lives. And just before service, I had a joy that was shared with me that is one of my favorite joys we get to share. And I'm sure he doesn't want me to share it because he didn't say anything on his way in this morning. But it was made aware to me that today is Ed Buckner's birthday. And Ed is sitting right back there. So will you sing to Ed with me?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Ed. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Ed. I saw it in the newspaper as well that your family was making sure it was well shared. So happy birthday. Hope you have a great day. And then the only other one that I had that, as I shared at the beginning of service, Earleen had reached out and said that she is recovering from her illness and doing better. And I know there are many that we've had in our congregation here who have had illnesses of one sort or another here in this cold and flu season that we're going through. And just continued prayers for all those in our congregation who are dealing with those illnesses, regaining their strength post those illnesses. We keep them all in our prayers. But Craig and Nathan have the microphones here. If you have something you'd like to share, please raise a hand and one of them will bring a microphone out to see you.
I ask for your prayers for my neighbor, Steve and Joan Prisby. Joan was in the hospital. She just got home the day before yesterday with some heart issues. And I'm not sure what's ailing Steve, but he was in the hospital also. But he's back home.
First for neighbors Steve and Joan, who have both had a trip to the hospital here.
I have a praise and a prayer request, both about Frank's. My praise is for a good friend that I'm developing a stronger friendship with all the time, and that's our dear Frank Brown. We're spending a lot more time together, watching war movies together. He even lets me drive his truck and his Jeep. And so I give praise for my new good buddy, Frank Brown. My prayer request is for my other Frank McLaren, Nancy's father. He's been transitioning into a nursing home over the last 6 months. It's been a difficult transition. We go down there to visit him and take him to doctors as they work through this. So prayers for Frank McLaren as he goes through changes in life.
Absolutely. Thank you, Steve. Prayers of joy for Frank and prayers of need and concern. Thank you very much.
I have a praise. Sue Rhodes is cancer-free.
That is a praise indeed. Sue is not with us this morning, but her most recent test results came back that she is free and clear, which we celebrate today.
Prayers for Dave's grandma who just passed away, and we have a joy, though. My mom and dad will be married 55 years on Thursday.
Prayers for the family as they mourn the loss of a grandma, but then a joy for an anniversary of 55 years. I heard someone start back here, so let's clap for that. That's a, we celebrate that. Absolutely. Thank you, Laura.
I have just a reminder. We think of all the people that are in Ukraine and still struggling with that whole issue, and we just ask that we keep them in prayer, that people, leaders will have cooler heads and make wise decisions for peace in that area. And also, of course, to keep our military men and women in prayer for their safety and for good leadership for all the decisions that they have to make. And, of course, our government leaders and our president.
Thank you, Jenny. Reminder to keep the people of Ukraine in our prayers and all of our servicemen and women serving. Thank you. Yes, sir.
I just want to say thanks to Steve. My daughter Nancy will be here this Thursday. So next Sunday she should be here.
Traveling mercies for Nancy as she'll be coming back up to see us and spend a little time. Thank you, Frank.
I'd like prayers for my son, Russ Becker. He has had flu symptoms on and off since Christmas Day. He's a store manager, and his workers have this bug, and they just keep passing it back and forth, and he's still not doing well.
Prayers for Russ as he continues to recover, and for all of his employees that are all dealing with that bug. I won't leave him alone. Thank you, Arnes.
Prayers for my sister, Judy. She had a cancerous mass removed from her bowel. She's now got cancer throughout the body, but she's praying for a natural way of going, not taking on the chemo or radiation. So prayers that everything goes the way she wants. And at 78, she says she's not going to go through the other. So prayers for healing.
Continue prayers for your sister, for Judy, as she deals with her cancer. Thank you.
Continued prayers for Julie's father, Pastor Lynn Jones. He served the Methodist Church for about 50 years, served our country in Vietnam as a lieutenant colonel chaplain. He's been struggling with his health in Hershey, Pennsylvania. And just prayers for him that God's will is done.
Prayers for Julie's dad, absolutely, as he deals with his health challenges right now. Thank you, God.
Prayers for our family. We've had, unfortunately, two losses this week. My Uncle Gary, as well as my brother, has lost his cat, one of his cats. And anybody who's a pet owner knows that pets are family.
Absolutely. Prayers for the family as you mourn the loss of your loved ones this week. Thank you, Dina.
Continued prayer for Beth Eisen.
Continue to keep Beth in our prayers. Absolutely. Thank
and you. I got a good word that Doug Forsgren is better, Gwen?
Doing well.
Doing well. So
Doug had his recent bout with COVID again. It was a joy to hear that he is doing much better recovering from that. So thank you for sharing. Are there any others this morning? Well, then I invite us to take these. We've heard joys and we've heard concerns shared. And we know our God listens to all those that we share, as well as those that we bring, those that we haven't spoken. So let us take just a moment to share our needs with our Lord. Take this moment of silent prayer.
Thank you.
God of Abraham, God of Israel, God of Isaiah, you are our God too. You spoke to and through the prophets, but your message did not end with them. There is still work to be done. And Lord, today we pray that we may hear your call anew. Help us joyfully claim our role as your beloved servants, knowing that you provide all that we need to do our work. Lord, you've walked with us before we were even born. You continue to hold us by the hand each and every day of our lives. So we pray with the confidence of those who have been filled with your light. Lord, we pray for those who need that life-giving light in their lives. We lift up all those that were spoken here today. We also lift up those that were prayed silently. For those who are in need of healing and peace in their life. For those who are weary and in need of your comforting presence. We pray to you. Lord, we pray for our country and our leaders, that they may open their hearts to you and lead us as a united people, not a divided one. Father God, we pray here in this place with the assurance of those who have been called into fellowship with your Son, Jesus Christ, the one who taught us to pray, the one who taught us to pray together this prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to again stand with me as you're able for our next hymn. It's number 349. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. We'll sing this through two times. Hymn number 349.
Thank you.
You may please be seated. And as you are, I take this moment to recognize and give thanks for our collection taken here today, for the tithes and offerings brought here. I'll remind us, in case you haven't quite heard, our envelopes are still on back order. Our distributors having some issues with getting those out to us. They've said we'll have them by the end of the month. We apologize for that, but we make do. We have some envelopes available at the usher stand and downstairs, and there are some in the pews. You can use those. Just make sure your name's on it. Dave and Ed, they do a good job back there. They took care of St. Andrew's money. They'll take care of this, too, and make sure it gets to the right place, I promise. So we are thankful for your continued faithfulness, for the continued ministry we're able to be a part of because of those tithes and offerings. The box is, of course, on the organ, and you can also give online at romeoumc.com. We offer our thanks, and let us offer this word of prayer for this collection today. Generous God, you have already given us all that we need. So Lord, help us to trust in your continued care. Help us to trust that we may share with others the abundance of your blessings. We pray that you accept our gifts. You give us new songs of praise to sing as we celebrate the opportunity it is to be in ministry, that we're able to do so in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We offer our thanks and our praise this day. Amen. Our second scripture reading is coming to us from John's Gospel. It's John chapter 1, verses 29 through 42. If you want to follow along in the pew Bibles, it's on page 87 of the New Testament. It's titled, The Lamb of God. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John testified, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the chosen one. The first disciples of Jesus. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, Look, here is the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, What are you looking for? They said to him, Rabbi, which translates to means teacher, Where are you staying? He said to them, Come and see. They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him for that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who had heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, We have found the Messiah, which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas, which is translated Peter. My friends, this is the word of God, and it's for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, last week, as we entered that new year, as the calendars changed, we got to discuss what I told you last week, and what I'll always say is one of my favorite and most amazing scenes that I think we have play out for us in the Bible. We got to read about Jesus' baptism. And the scene I'm referring to is the one that was again referenced in this week's scripture, the moment when he emerged from the waters and the heavens themselves opened up. And that heavenly dove, it descended and it rested on Jesus. And as it did so, that voice came booming from the heavens. This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. As I shared last week, this particular scene, it's special to me. It's been very special to me since I've been appointed here at Romeo, because I'm reminded of this scene each and every week. because of our beautiful rose window that remains, or that is located at the back of our sanctuary. I'm reminded of it because of that dove that is right at the center, that dove that I know is intentionally pointed down, reminding us that the Holy Spirit still descends, still rests on each and every one of us, just as it did with Jesus. But outside of that reminder that I get each week, this scene is wonderful for a few other reasons, and one of those reasons is it's one of the few times in the Scriptures that we see all three parts of the Trinity represented. We see, or we hear, God the Father's voice booming from the heavens. We have the Son, Jesus, coming up out of the water. And we have that Holy Spirit descending as a dove and resting on Jesus. All three parts represented in this moment. And as I said, I believe it's special for a few other reasons, but primarily because it's often recognized, often remembered as the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. It was from this moment that he went forth, bringing his message to the people. It was a time when everything would change, both for Jesus, for those he encountered, and for the world. And as we spent some time talking about last week, we acknowledge that change requires change. We can't simply declare that we want things to change and see it happen, that we want things to be different and see it happen in our lives. Because regardless of what the change is, whether it's a little thing or a life-altering one, change takes work. It takes effort. It takes intentionality. And I think it's important for us to realize that you will not make all the changes that you need to make, those that you want to make, those that you would love to make, those that you plan to make, those that you hope to make. We won't make those changes all by ourselves. And I think we're reminded of this in the 12th chapter of Romans with verses 4 and 5. It reads, "Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other." God created the world in this way. God created the world in a way that we are all wired to one another, to each other. I need you, and you need me, and we all need each other. And depending on the translation, if we look into the New Testament, there's around 59 times when that phrase, one another, occurs. Care for one another, encourage one another, support one another, pray for one another, greet one another, share with one another, and of course, love one another. From the very beginning, right back to the beginning of the Scriptures, right back to the beginning, God showed us that we were not intended to be alone. God no longer wanted to be alone. He created us. God didn't want Adam to be alone. He created Eve. We are not meant to do this alone. Now, before I make this next comment, I have to be clear here. This is a reference that goes way, way back before my time. I had to look this up to make sure it was accurate, all right? Because this is way before my time. But isn't it telling that the Lone Ranger had Tonto? The Lone Ranger. The guy who literally had the word in his name. He didn't do it alone. He had a partner. He had someone to do his life with. We weren't created to live life all by ourselves. We were created to live in community because we all need our spiritual family. We need it for life's ups and downs. We all belong to each other. And that's why I said to implement any of those changes, to implement any of those things we want to see happen, it takes conscious effort. It takes a commitment. And I believe this week it shows, our scriptures show, it takes others to be a part of that commitment, to be a part of that change. I was recently reading through a commentary, and in that commentary there was a question that stopped me in my tracks. And it's been in my mind for some time now. But the question it asked was, how would your life be different if you were not a Christian? How would your life be different if you were not Christian? For those of us who have spent our lives surrounded by Christian communities in church and Christian families, that's almost impossible to imagine in some ways. But what if you had no interest in God? How would your life be less? How would it be more? Would it be just about the same? What would you miss about church? I, for one, know that were it not for the church, there is no chance you'd ever catch me singing in public. And perhaps there's a few of you who wish that I'd make sure I muted my microphone a little bit better and that you didn't have to hear me, especially those watching online. But looking around you, which of your friends possibly wouldn't be your friends were it not for the church? You'd never met them in worship, Sunday school, a potluck, during fellowship time. How great a loss would that be in your life, having not met them? How would your family have been changed were it not for the church? How would you spend your time differently? Perhaps right now you'd be curled up on the couch with a warm blanket and a cup of coffee instead of sitting here with all of us. What would be easier if you weren't a Christian? Are there certain things that you could do without that are a part of being a Christian? Or are there experiences that you can't imagine that you would have hated to miss throughout your life? Experiences of God's grace, God's love and worship, moments of vulnerability, moments of joy that have been shared with your Christian family. Those times when you've been able to help and care for the hurting in our world. How would your life be different if you hadn't ever met Jesus? It's interesting to consider, isn't it? Like I said, it's been in my mind for some time now. It hasn't been able to escape my thoughts. I keep coming back around to it. And I think in part it was because it was preparing me for this morning, because I don't think we're the only ones who have probably ever had those thoughts, or that I've put in your mind now at least. Because I believe even the disciples themselves probably had to at times have wondered, what in the world did he get us into? How would our lives be different if we had never crossed paths with this man from Galilee? Because really, for most of them, as I shared in today's scripture, it started quite innocently, quite unexpectedly even. As we read here in John's gospel, for some of them, it started with a simple statement from another teacher, another person that they'd grown to respect. Because we're told John the Baptist, he was just hanging out, standing there in town, probably picking on the Pharisees a little bit, but that was what he did. But he was standing around when Jesus happened to come walking by. Happened to come walking by. But I'll paraphrase what John says here. He looks at Jesus walking and he says, "That's the one. You know how self-assured I can be, how cocky I can be at times? I'm not even worthy to tie his sandals. That is the one I've been telling you was coming. He's the one we've been waiting for." And that statement, it understandably left John's two disciples, it left them curious about this man. So they decided, hey, we're going to follow this guy. We're going to follow this Jesus just to see what the fuss is really about, see what he's up to. And I have to imagine it caught them a little off guard, because we're told as they were following him, Jesus stopped and turned and looked at them and asked, "What are you looking for? What are you looking for?" And I find those disciples, I find their answer interesting, because if they were being perfectly honest, wouldn't they have replied, "We're looking for the Messiah. That's who John the Baptist says you are. John claimed that about you. We want to see the miracles that you can perform. We want to see you wipe out all those who occupy our lands and enslave our people. We want to see you rescue us from the life we're in." That's what they were looking for, if they're being honest. But that's not how they answered. Probably because saying it out loud, it might have sounded a little crazy to them to say those words. So instead, they answered, "We thought we'd check out where you're staying tonight. We want to see what you're up to." Or in other words, "We don't really have anything else to do at this moment, so we're going to follow you around for a little bit like we've been following John." But it's at this moment, a moment that the two of them likely didn't recognize the significance of, that Jesus offers an invitation. An invitation that's going to go on to change their lives forever when he says three words to them. "Come and see. Come and see." And they did. And we're not told specifically what they experienced on that first day. During that initial time, we're just told that they stayed with him all day. because he was interesting. They stayed with him to see what was going on. At this point, they still don't really know what they're signing up for, what they're getting themselves into. They don't know that they're going to end up leaving behind the lives that they've led. Their nets, their boats, their homes, their jobs, their families. They don't realize what they're leaving in this moment. They don't realize that this man who just happened to cross their path will end up changing their ideas and their thoughts on a great number of things. But it all started with that invitation of come and see. And as I said, it doesn't tell us exactly what Jesus did with those disciples during that first encounter. But whatever it was, we're told that Andrew, one of those men, he was excited. He couldn't contain himself. And he knew that he had to go find his older brother. He had to go find Simon. And when he did, he told him didn't mince his words at all. He told him, "We have found the Messiah." And while I might be putting a few words into his mouth, I'm sure the inference was, "You have to come and see this guy. You have to come with me. Come on, let's go." And I'll say to his credit, Simon does go along. He goes along with his younger brother, and I'm saying this purely as an older brother myself. It might have likely been just to shut his younger brother up. Maybe he'll leave me alone if I go along with him, if I go with him and follow him for a moment here. I don't think it was out of any great faith that Simon did this initially. But then we're told that Simon, too, he meets and he encounters Jesus. And in that encounter, Jesus tells him, you are going to be called the Rock. You will be a rock. And I have to imagine that this man, this often confused man, Simon, who stood before him, he felt like anything but a rock at that moment. But then, as we said, change requires change. Change requires others. And through his time spent with Jesus, through the teachings he heard, the miracles he saw, Simon, Peter, begins to change. Simon becomes that rock on which Jesus will help build his church. And the truth is that for many people, for most people, we're a lot like Simon at times. Might go along because someone else says, "Hey, come check this out." We might go along taking just small little steps, one at a time, as much out of curiosity as they are out of faith. But they are steps we take. They're steps we take together. So if Jesus were here today, if he presented us with that same question he asked those first disciples, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? What are we looking for in worship? Why do we go to church? Perhaps it's because at one point you had parents who dragged you along, who made you come to church. Maybe you still have their voice in the back of your mind telling you it's Sunday morning, get up, get ready to go. Maybe you don't come with any great expectations. Perhaps you're interested in thinking about and learning how we can live better lives up to a certain point. Maybe you just really like the coffee and snacks that are offered downstairs whenever I stop yapping up here and you get to get down there to them. If you don't have anything resonating in your mind at this moment to that question, why do we come to church? Why do we worship God? If you find yourself not coming up with a clear answer, please know that you're in good company. If you have no identifiable reason, that's okay. Because as the disciples' experience from the scripture shows us, a lot of people find their way there by accident, by coincidence, by others helping them along. Jesus says, "Come and see." And we see the disciples stumble along, following without really knowing where they're going, without knowing what awaits them, discovering well after the fact that they have wandered onto a path that leads to grace and hope, a path that leads to life. "Come and see," Jesus says to his disciples. And in John's gospel, those disciples soon have a chance to see. They will see miracles performed that they never imagined possible. They will taste water that was turned into wine. They will watch in horror as Jesus clears the temple, worried for his safety. They will listen in amazement as Jesus teaches and preaches to the crowds. They will witness those life-giving miracles, performed for crowds, performed for individuals, performed to give people hope. these disciples have stumbled onto a way of life they never imagined, one that they never dreamed was possible, all because they took that first step at an invitation of come and see. What is it that we're looking for? Is it a life we never dreamed possible? Deep in our souls, I think we are all looking for something. Something to believe in. Something to hold on to. Something important to live our life for. Something big enough that it can claim our passions and give us a reason to go on. I believe we are all looking for challenge and purpose. And when it comes down to it, I believe we are all looking for God. Asking Him to work in our lives. A decision that often begins with curiosity. A decision that often is just a small step forward. It can be a step toward that grace. A step toward faith. And our response to the offer of come and see, it can start us on that path. But it's not a one-time choice. Jesus asks us, invites us to new opportunities each and every day. New chances to come, new chances to see each and every day of our lives. And that emptiness we sometimes feel in our hearts, in our souls, it's into that emptiness that God comes calling. Gives us choices, gives us paths and decisions to make that might lead us to that path of grace. God looks beyond what we know, beyond our computer screens and coffee cups, beyond the disagreements we make up amongst ourselves. God looks into the possibilities of what we might do as His followers. God is the one who makes us long for something that lasts. And God draws us towards that life even when we don't recognize it, even when we don't see it happening. Come and see is how the disciples' story began. It is a wonderful line. It's a great opening to that story. But come and see is an invitation to explore, to discover, to travel without knowing exactly where we are going. It's an invitation to catch a glimpse of God in the world around us. It's a chance to catch a glimpse of who we can be. Come and see. Come and look for the places you've never been, places you've never dreamed of being. Come and see what it means to hope and believe, what it means to follow. We come to this place to open ourselves to God and God's presence. When we do, we believe that God will lead us into new places and opportunities. The people who follow Jesus, the people who choose to follow Jesus, they end up emulating the things that Jesus did. They become like Jesus. They care for the hurting. They listen to the lonely. They feed the hungry. They pray for the brokenhearted. They bandage those who are wounded. Those who follow Jesus find themselves doing more than is expected, more than they ever dreamed they were capable of. In looking for God, they end up finding an extraordinary life. I believe it is the spirit of adventure that calls us to worship. We come to seek the meaning of life, to join with other people on that journey, to join our brothers and sisters in Christ, and to change together, to ask God to show us the ways of grace and where it might lead us. We come to experience the gifts that have been freely given. We come to acknowledge the needs of this world. We come to discover the possibilities of who we might be when we come and see. If we worship God, if we share our lives with other people who are looking for God, we will see beyond what we've assumed is possible, beyond what we've been told is possible in this world. If we look for God, we will surely find that God is looking for us. God is offering us life. God is offering us hope. If you're looking to make a change, if you're looking to start on that new journey, start with one small step today. Because I believe Jesus still reaches out with those same three words. Come and see. Accept that invitation today. Accept the invitation to come and see what God has in store for you. Thanks be to the God of invitation. The one who opens doors before us, the one who walks the path with us. Thanks be to God. And amen. Well, we're celebrating communion a week later than normal this year, this month, this year. because last year was the start of the year and we weren't quite ready for the first. But we do have the cups. Guy has the tray there. If you didn't catch one before on your way in, just catch his eye. He'll be glad to get you one if you want to work on getting those layers off the cups there. And as you do so, I also remind us that it is the belief, it is the practice and tradition of the United Methodist Church that this is the Lord's Supper. None of us have any claim to it. It is Jesus' offering to each of us. And as such, all are welcome to receive, all are invited to receive the bread and the cup offered to us by Jesus. And as we share in this time together, there will be the liturgy on the screens. I invite you to join me in this communion liturgy as we receive this gift today. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You have made from one every nation and people to live on all the face of the earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, saying together, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Christ took the bread. He gave thanks to God, broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, Take this, all of you. This is my body, broken for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you take it in remembrance of me. My friends, today we likewise take and receive. When the supper was over, Jesus took the cup. He again gave thanks to God. He gave it to his disciples, telling them, Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let us likewise take and drink. And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as together we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
So let's all stand for, if you're able, for our last praise song.
Gathered in your name, we're calling out to you. Your glory like a fire, awakening desire, will burn our hearts with truth. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens. We want to see you open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of your voice. Your presence in this place, your glory on our face. we're looking to the sky. Descending like a cloud, you're steady with us now, Lord, unveil our eyes. You're the reason we're here, you're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens, we want to sing. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our face. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. We want to see you open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your eyes, filling every part of our face. Open up the heavens. We want to see you open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your heart. Filling every part of your face.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, open up the heavens. We want to see you. We want to see you so that we may go forth joyfully, knowing that you are with us, that we go forth with curiosity, seeing what we might find. Let us take peace from this place. Let us take hope to all that we meet. May we go with God's eternal love shining through us always. Let us go with God's blessing. Amen.